This is Ask an Astronomer with Nick Rattenbury and Edward Boyce. For the full show, go to geocast.net.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Nick. It's good for my first experience of recording on the Jodcast.
Oh, well, we're very happy to have you here. Now, you might remember from a few episodes ago, we were talking with Chris Lintott from the University of Oxford about Galaxy Zoo. This is a project whereby you, anybody with an internet connection, can connect to galaxyzoo.org and look at observations of galaxies and then sort them into various different types of galaxies. It's something which is extremely difficult to get a computer to do, but that soft, squishy computer between our ears is actually quite good at it. Sort of, you know, several hundred thousand years of evolution has generated a computer for pattern recognition, and it seems to be the fastest way to get all these observations of galaxies sorted is to get humans to do it. But anyway, a question coming from Larry Hunt. And his question goes like this. While profiling galaxies on galaxyzoo.org, I noticed that many galaxies have a redshift value. How do you convert a redshift value to a distance? Also, is the conversion linear? In other words, is a galaxy with a redshift value of 4 twice as far away as a galaxy with a redshift value of 2? Okay, so there's a couple of questions there. Let's first of all talk about redshift. What does redshift mean?
Well, redshifts happen because the universe is expanding, so when light from the distant universe sets out and starts travelling towards us, the space is expanding while the light moves through it, and as space stretches out, the light gets stretched out as well, and so its wavelength gets longer. And when the wavelength of light gets longer, it looks more red. And the further away the light was when it started, the more redshift stretching there is, and the redder the light gets. So that's sort of just reminding everyone what redshifts are. And for small redshifts, we're dealing with light that only went through it, started out in a nearby bit of the universe, where the expansion rate hasn't had time to change very much by the time the light gets to us. So there you can assume a constant expansion rate, and then you do actually get a nice linear conversion from redshift to distance. So I had to go and look up the numbers, but for small redshifts, you multiply the redshift by 130 trillion trillion to get the distance in meters. Or you can multiply by 14 billion to get the distance in light years. Now, that's only good up to a redshift of 0.1, maybe 0.2 if you want to push it. And for larger redshifts, the light set out when the universe was much younger and when it was expanding at a different rate. And because the expansion rate has changed, you can't just take a simple linear conversion. You have to do some calculus and actually do an integral over all those different expansion rates. And so that's a little bit more complex. And so you have to write yourself some code to do an integral or look up some of the calculators on the web.
But for those small values of redshift, then this linear multiplication is valid.
Yes, but that's only good up to a redshift of about 0.1 or maybe 0.2 if you want to push it. It's for the larger redshifts, the universe was expanding at a different rate when the light set out, and so the expansion rate actually changes while the light's travelling to us. And to convert from redshift to distance, you need to do some calculus and actually integrate over all of those different expansion rates. So, you know, if it's a redshift of, you know, about 1/10, 0.1, that's the point at which it stops being linear.
Now, I'm not particularly great at calculus. I hope that somebody out there has written some code that I can access online. Are there online calculators for distance given a redshift?
Yes, there are some. So I'm sure we'll place a link to one of them on the show notes.
Super. There you go. So thank you very much to Larry Hunt.
Can I just throw in one little story? Another astronomer one time asked me what the redshift separation of the two of us was when we were sitting a few metres apart, and he wanted to see if I knew that number off the top of my head, which I didn't. So I actually said, well, I can't give you an exact number, but if you're going to ask that sort of question in the bar on a Friday night, our redshift separation isn't nearly big enough.
Very good. All right, well, thank you very much to Larry Hunt. I hope that answers your question. Next question is from Joe Jones, and he writes, I was up before dawn yesterday, well done, to see the 0608 transit of the International Space Station across a clear sky. I was struck by the appearance of a second light, a little in advance of the brighter ISS by a few degrees. It was as though this unknown light and that of the ISS were on two ends of a stick with the ISS at the rear. I've never seen this before. Any ideas?
Right, well, that second light was probably a Russian cargo transport vehicle. I looked around on the web and I found some logs for the International Space Station, which told me that on the 19th of September, the Progress M60 cargo vehicle undocked from the International Space Station, and that happened at 04:37 Moscow time. So by the time Joe Jones was making his observation a little bit later, but still quite early on the 19th of September, it would have moved away a little bit. And so it, I suppose, a few hours later you would have expected that cargo vessel to have separated from the International Space Station, but still be fairly close by and flying along the same orbit. Mm. So that's why you could have observed the two of them moving together across the sky, sort of in about the same region and moving at the same speed in the same direction.
What was going to happen to that cargo vessel?
Oh, about a week later it actually crashed down into the atmosphere and burned up. So it had taken supplies up to the International Space Station, and after those had all been used up, Moscow Mission Control took over and piloted it away from the space station and let it just come back down to Earth and burn up in some remote part of the world.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much to Joe Jones for a great observation there. And please do, again, everybody, send in your questions to Ask an Astronomer. Just go to www.jodcast.net and follow the links for feedback and send in your questions, and we'll have them answered by our tame astronomers. So thank you very much to you, Edward, for answering the questions.
It was good to be on here, Nick. Thank you very much.